gospel lesson today is from John 16. And in John chapters 14 to 16, Jesus is actually talking about going away. Going away to his Father. And he promises his disciples an advocate, a counselor, a comforter, the Holy Spirit, to help them, comfort them, and remind them of all he has taught. And then he talks about how their sorrow will turn into joy. And he compares their pain to that of childbirth, a pain that results in joy. So hear this word of the Lord for you today. Very truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will have pain, but your pain will turn into joy. When a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when the child is born, she no longer remembers the pain because of the joy of having brought a human being into the world. So you have pain now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take that joy from you. On that day, you will ask nothing of me. Very truly, I tell you, if you ask anything of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name, so ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete. Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, pour out that Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us, Lord. Help us to know that you are in this place and you are the one who gives us joy. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So there are some things that other people cannot take away from you, right? Things like love, faith, learning, happy memories. I was thinking about some of my best vacation memories this week, and by far, it's a trip to Hawaii with Ed and my brother. My brother took us on this extravagant trip to Hawaii that we could have never afforded on our own, and it was beyond beautiful. The ocean, the flowers, everything was stunning. And no one can ever take that away from me. It's a happy place I can go to in my mind when things are rough. It's why we're celebrating here from the island. You know something else that no one can take away from you? It's joy. Joy. We can allow people and circumstances to rob us of our happiness. We can give in to feelings of despair and hopelessness, but really, really no one can take away our joy because joy is deeper. Joy is a gift from God that we really, really need, right? I mean, we come here to this place and we have jobs stressing us out, marriages hurting us, kids ripping out our hearts, illnesses threatening us, parents worrying us, finances boggling our mind, and losses that break our hearts. And then we get here and God says, rejoice. Have joy. What? How are we supposed to do that? Well, that's what this Sunday is all about, Holy Humor. It's the day we celebrate the joy of the resurrection. But remember, what does it take to have resurrection? What has to happen first? Something has to die. Something has to die. Resurrection is new life after the old life has died. Because that is the power of resurrection. That's very powerful. Jesus died that he might live and we might live forever. So today we celebrate because he lives, we can really live. When we realize that sequence about the resurrection, we can start to see how God's word about rejoicing and joy applies to every single one of us, no matter what's happening, because we've all had something. We've all had something that we've lost in our lives. And I think we all can use some resurrection. So in case you came here today a little down in the dumps, be prepared to smile and maybe laugh. A Catholic man had a heart attack. He fell down on the sidewalk of a city street and he said, "Give me a priest! Give me a priest!" The police officer nearby asked, "Is anyone a priest? Is anyone a priest?" And no one came forward. "I need a priest," said the man on the floor. Finally, this elderly man stepped forward and said, "Officer, I'm not a priest, and I'm not Catholic, but I live next to a Catholic church, and I have often heard the Catholic liturgy. maybe I can be of some comfort. The man comes to the dying man, kneels down, and very solemnly says, O 72, G 51, B 5, N 33. That one's for you, Phil. A kindergarten teacher gave her class a show and tell assignment of bringing something to demonstrate their religion. So the first child got up in front of the class and said, Hello, my name is Benjamin, I'm Jewish, and this is the Star of David. The second child got up in front of her class and said, My name is Mary, I'm Catholic, this is a crucifix. The third child got up in front of the class and said, My name is Tommy, I'm a Presbyterian, and this is a casserole. Three boys in a schoolyard were bragging about their dads. The first boy said, My dad, he just scribbles a few words on a piece of paper, and then he calls it a poem, and they give him $50. The next kid said, That's nothing. My dad scribbles a few words on a piece of paper. He calls it a song, and they give him $100. The third boy says, I've got you both beat. My dad scribbles a few words on a piece of paper. He calls it a sermon, and it takes 8 people to collect all the money. What do you get when you cross the Easter Bunny with an overstressed pastor during Holy Week? An Easter basket case. A man walking along a California beach was deep in prayer when all of a sudden he said aloud to God, Lord, just grant me one wish. So the sky clouded and this booming voice came down and said, Because you are faithful, I will grant you one wish. And the man said, I want a bridge to Hawaii so I could drive there anytime I want. The Lord said, Oh, no. This request is very materialistic. I mean, think of the logistics of that. Think of what it would cost to do something to the bottom of the Pacific, the concrete and steel it would take. I can do it, but it's hard for me to justify this desire for something so worldly. Take a little more time and think of another wish, a wish you think would honor and glorify me. So the man sat there for a while and finally he said, Oh, Lord, I wish that I could understand women. I want to know what they feel, what they're thinking when they give me the silent treatment, why they cry, what they mean when they say nothing, and just how to make them happy. After a few minutes, God said, How many lanes do you want on that bridge? A boy was watching his father, a pastor, writing the sermon, and the little boy said, Dad, how do you know what to say? And the dad said, Oh, God tells me what to say. And the little boy said, Then why do you keep crossing things out all the time? A minister waited in line to have his car filled up with gas just before a long holiday weekend, and the attendant was working very quickly. There were several cars ahead of him at the service station, and finally the attendant motioned him towards a vacant pump. And Preacher, this young man said. He said, Preacher, I'm so sorry about this delay today. It seems like everyone waits until the last minute to get ready for a long trip. The preacher said, Mm-hmm. I know what you mean. It's the same in my business. A priest, an evangelist, and a minister were in a rowboat in the middle of a pond fishing, and they caught nothing. The evangelist stood up and said that he needed to go to the bathroom. So he climbs out of the boat, walks on the water to shore, and comes back 10 minutes later the same way. Next, the minister decides he needs to go too, so he climbs out of the boat, walks on the water to shore, and he too comes back the same way. So the priest looks at both of them and decides that his faith is just as strong as theirs, and he can walk on water too. So he stands up, steps out of the boat, and splashes down into the pond. The evangelist looks at the minister and says, I suppose we should have told him where the rocks were. Sometimes we need to hear something funny, and sometimes we need to hear it in church, because this is where we hear good news. This is where we receive joy despite all the junk in our lives. This is where we come to receive joy that comes in the midst of and in spite of our pain. A joy that no one can take from us. That's what Jesus was talking about when he said, "You have pain now, but I will see you again. And then your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take that joy from you." That's what we need. Something no one can take from us. That joy that comes through and after pain. What if these words that we heard today, rejoice and joy, what if they don't apply? They don't apply to our circumstances or our feelings. What if God is not saying, "Oh, just see that glass half full," or "It's okay, everything is fine"? But rather, in spite of it all, what if rejoicing and joy mean that God is with us? That God gives us the ability to rejoice, that God gives that gift of joy, regardless of how we feel. Jesus was promising his followers the Holy Spirit when he said these words, "The Spirit of God inside of us, the one guiding and leading and comforting." Did you know that the word rejoice means be joyful? In Greek, it's the word kairo from the Greek kara, which means joy, and charis, which means grace. And it's not something you just do. It's a gift. It's a gift from God, from God's amazing grace. And it's a gift that comes in spite of and even in the midst of pain. In fact, I'd argue that the deeper pain that we feel, the more depth of our joy, a joy that no one can take. We've probably all heard this before, but joy and happiness are different in the Bible. Happiness can depend upon your circumstances or even your feelings. Happiness is actually what the world is talking about out there. They want us to just be happy. You know, buy this, get that, move in here, drive this, feel good, be happy. Joy is different. Joy is something deeper and stronger, and it lasts so much longer because joy is what God gives us. Not based on our circumstances, not based on our feelings, because both of those things may stink. That's why we heard the reading from the Old Testament today, Habakkuk. Because joy can come to us even when everything appears hopeless. Did you catch those amazing words from that prophet? Did you even realize that there was a prophet named Habakkuk? Or a book like that in the Bible? It's pretty amazing. "Though the fig tree does not blossom, no fruit is on the vines, the produce of the olive fails, the fields yield no food, the flock is cut off, and there's no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exalt the God of my salvation, because God, the Lord, is my strength." In fact, if you were to look where joy is all throughout the Bible, you'll find it in the strangest places. Just like we heard today, Jesus talks about joy when he's talking about death, pain, leaving them. The Psalms talk about joy coming in the morning after you've been weeping all night long. Lamentations talks about joy in the same breath that it laments the death of children. Apparently, God is very serious about joy being something in spite of our circumstances. Joy is not about knowing, "Oh, everything's all right." Joy is about knowing God is all right. And God is good. How often? We can receive this gift of joy even in our pain. I mean, haven't you ever laughed because otherwise you would just sit down and cry? I feel like that describes my life a lot. Haven't you ever received the gift of something funny while you were down in the dumps? Well, Mark Twain says that's no accident. He says the secret source of humor is not joy, but sorrow. And the Bible would agree. I read another great quote. "The sadnesses of life, far from discouraging laughter, give rise to it." I believe that. And I'm going to use that as my excuse for having a very loud and obnoxious laugh. Yes, I know. This is how you find me in the church. This is how you find me out there, in addition to my crazy green car. But I'm going to use that as my excuse because I think that the depth of our sorrow gives us a depth of joy and laughter and enjoying God. I remember something funny that happened at my Grandpa Bill's graveside service. He was this funny man who loved the Lord. He's the one that took me to a Presbyterian church because that's what he cleaned on the weekends. Always a smile, always laughter. So it's very fitting that during this very serious moment in the graveside service, in the middle of a driving rainstorm, we're all standing right in front of his casket, and it tilts and starts to slide and slide, and no one stops it. And we all just burst out laughing because we knew he was probably laughing too. You ever felt giddy for no reason? Ever been dancing at the same time you're grieving or laughing while you're crying? We all know that happens. We know that babies are born in the midst of tragedies, that laughter can be heard in oncology units, that singing is a favorite pastime in nursing homes. God gives us joy as a gift when we need it the most. C.S. Lewis wrote a great little book called The Screwtape Letters, and it's about the big daddy devil Screwtape telling the little junior devil Wormwood how to convert all humanity and take them to hell. It's a very interesting read. On the subject of joy, the big devil Screwtape says to the junior devil Wormwood, "I divide these human causes of laughter into joy, fun, jokes, flippancy. You will see joy among friends and lovers reunited on the eve of a holiday. What the real cause of this joy is, we have no idea. Something like this joy is expressed in much of that detestable art which humans call music. And apparently a lot of it occurs in heaven. Joy to us is a meaningless acceleration in the rhythm of celestial experience. Laughter of that kind does us no good. It should always be discouraged. Besides, this joy phenomenon is in and of itself disgusting. It's a direct insult to the realism, dignity, and austerity of hell." C.S. Lewis wrote that joy is the serious business of heaven. That it is the grand truth. That joy is the surprise that happens when we discover God's love for us. Now, doesn't that sound like something we need? So when do we get this gift of grace? When do we get this joy? Well, if you read throughout the Bible, it can happen absolutely any time. Why? Paul says it's because the Lord is near. It can happen when we are alone or lonely. It can happen in the company of others. Paul writes frequently about the fellowship that we share with other believers and the joy of fellowship. That's what we're here celebrating today. We open our hearts to the joy of the Lord. We rejoice because God is good. How often?
All the time.
But when we leave this place, we also have to make room for joy in our hearts and in our lives. It comes whenever we're amazed by the glory of God, like in the laughter of a little child, a beautiful lake, a sensational sunset, any moment that we can describe as a God sighting. Joy also comes from being thankful, grateful for what God has given to us. Joy comes when we are aware of God's presence all around us and when we are with believers in study and worship and the word and prayer. Joy comes from being near the Lord in God's word and prayer, and it comes when we think about the good things, like Paul said, whatever is pure, honorable, noble, and holy. The truth is we see thousands of negative images every week. So what if we put something positive in our hearts and minds? What if we opened our hearts to receive the gift of joy? Friends, that is our good news of the gospel today. Joy is one of the greatest gifts we can receive, regardless of how we feel or what our circumstance is. Laughter and rejoicing are God's gifts in the middle of pain, and they come because Jesus is alive. Because he lives, we can live. And to that, all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Okay, we're going to have a noise break. Are you ready? I'll count to three.
1, 2, 3. All right. Let's stand up and affirm our faith with the affirmation of joy in your bulletin.
We believe in God, who made us in God's image.